Hi, it's Bennett. I was going to come in and sit in with John tonight on the news, but he has an audition, so he called and asked if I could actually sit in and do the news. And I thought it might be kind of appropriate because it is the 25th anniversary of John Lennon's assassination. And you know me, if you know me. That's a big deal for me. So I've prepped a little bit of news stuff, but mostly today we're going to be listening to John Lennon. It is, therefore, once again, the killradio.org Thursday Impressionistic News Hour. So it's time for you to press those ears up against the speakers and let's see if we can get something going here.
I just wanted you to go and A&R it, yes. Okay, I'll try it, okay?
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever and they despise a fool. Till you're so fucking crazy you can't follow the rules. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they've tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV. You think you're so clever and classless and free. But you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. There's room at the top, they are telling you still. First you must learn how to smile when you kill. If you want to be like the folks on the hill. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
An alternate take of Working Class Hero from the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band album from 1970. What? I don't know. Today has been... it's been odd because I've been hearing people talk about John Lennon on the radio today and television and hearing some misinformation. Randy Rhoads, for some reason, was going on about John Lennon's drug intake. And then she went on about how much she hated Yoko Ono. And she kept referring to Yoko's Shaved Fish album, this horrible album by Yoko Ono called Shaved Fish that... She said something about, imagine the songs that were rejected from the Shaved Fish album. Well, she had everything wrong. The Shaved Fish was an Apple release. It was a John Lennon greatest hits album. It wasn't a Yoko Ono album. And so what would be rejected from a greatest hits album? And I heard Ed Schultz talking about him, and I've seen his face on television several times today. And, of course, a couple weeks back, I think it was CBS, did a two-hour report on the dim bulb who committed the murder. And I don't know. Hey, at least John Lennon was about peace. At least John Lennon was something... to me, he was a hero. What can I say? Anyway, here's the... Where am I? Here's the... Weekly News. Posted December 6th, 2005 by Paul Ford to the harpers.org website. This is the Weekly News in Review. Concerning last week. At the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, President George W. Bush gave a speech on the Iraq War. As Iraqi forces grow more capable, he said, they're increasingly taking the lead in the fight against the terrorists. Operation Steel Hammer, intended to end al-Qaeda operations in Heat, west of Baghdad, was launched with a force of 1,500 U.S. Marines, 500 U.S. Army soldiers, and 500 Iraqi soldiers. 19 Iraqi soldiers were killed in an attack north of Baghdad, and 10 U.S. Marines were killed by a roadside bomb in Fallujah. In New York City, a defense contractor named David H. Brooks rented out two floors of the Rainbow Room for his daughter Elizabeth's bat mitzvah. Tom Petty, Kenny G, members of Aerosmith performed, as did 50 Cent. The total cost of the party was reported at $10 million. Go Shorty, rapped 50 Cent. It's your bat mitzvah. We gonna party like it's your bat mitzvah. Two women told a reporter that Randy Duke Cunningham, the California congressman who resigned after he was found to have accepted bribes from defense contractors, once changed into pajama bottoms and a turtleneck sweater and offered the women champagne by the light of a lava lamp. The House Ethics Committee has not opened a new case in the last 12 months. I would say by the early part of January, we will be fully organized, said Representative Alan Mulhan, Democrat from West Virginia, or should be really close to that. Senator John McCain said he didn't think the Ethics Committees are working very well. Meanwhile, in Tennessee, a man was arrested for firing a gun at traffic while wearing only a pair of socks. In North Carolina, Kenneth Boyd became the 1,000th prisoner executed since the United States reintroduced the death penalty in 1976. It's a milestone we should all be ashamed of, said Boyd's lawyer. Facing criticism over the United States network of secret prisons in Europe, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pointed out that intelligence gathered from terrorism suspects has helped prevent attacks in not only the United States, but Europe as well. Rice also asserted that the United States does not transport detainees from one country to another for the purpose of torture. The U.S. Transportation Safety Administration decided that screwdrivers under 7 inches long and scissors with blades under 4 inches long will again be permitted on airplanes. Russia confirmed plans to sell $1 billion worth of surface-to-air missiles and other weapons hardware to Iran. And it was reported that Iraqi militants, before they carried out raids or suicide bombings, were taking a methamphetamine-based drug called Pinky that made them feel superhuman. A U.S. federal judge determined that it is constitutional for the New York police to randomly search passengers' bags on the subway. And that wouldn't have been good for a job I used to have when I was in New York and I traveled on the subway. And a Jasper County, Georgia, 8th grader was dismissed from school after he took down a video camera installed in the school's boys' bathroom. It turned out that the camera had been placed there by the school principal so that he could observe the boys. A theological commission planned to ask Pope Benedict XVI to eliminate limbo, where unbaptized infants are thought to go after death, from the catechism. And an atheist student group at the University of Texas was handing out pornography to anyone who gave them a Bible as part of a Smut for Smut program. "We consider the Bible to be a very negative force in the history of the world," said one of the students. In Fremont, California, Iron Crotch Grandmaster Tu Jing Sheng pulled a rental truck several yards with his penis. "He's very special," said student Shawnee Wang. An Indiana man was found guilty of murder for shooting a 15-year-old boy who threw eggs at him. President Bush was called for jury duty, but asked to delay his service until he was out of office. And a Wausau, Wisconsin hunter shot and killed a buck that lacked testicles. In Russia, a pair of squirrels attacked and, according to an eyewitness, literally gutted a large dog that was barking at them. When humans approached, these squirrels ran away, carrying some flesh with them. The National Security Agency released papers related to the 1964 Gulf of Tonkin incident. One previously secret history, written in 2001, argued that intelligence regarding the incident was deliberately skewed to cover up 90% of intercepted North Vietnamese communications so that President Lyndon Johnson and Congress could be more easily pushed into the Vietnam War. It was revealed that the U.S. Army was writing positive news stories about the Iraq War and was then paying to have the articles translated into Arabic and published in Iraqi newspapers. Abdul Zarazaki, editor of the newspaper Almeida, said that if he had known the stories with titles like "Iraqis Insist on Living Despite Terrorism" and "More Money Goes to Iraq's Development" were written by the U.S. Army, he would have charged much, much more. President Omar Bongo of Gabon won another term in office, and a South African court ruled that same-sex marriage was constitutional. In South Africa, they're ahead of us. In Phoenix, Arizona, a 14-year-old freshman at Barry Goldwater High School was arrested for raping a 75-year-old woman. And in Manchester, New Hampshire, a man named Ronald McDonald was arrested for stealing $133 from a safe at a Wendy's restaurant. Scientists in London were planning to insert nose cells into damaged human spines in the hope that the cells will stimulate the growth of nerve fibers and surgeons in France performed a partial face transplant. Shades of eyes without a face. Taking the nose and lips of a brain-dead donor and grafting them onto the face of a woman who had been severely disfigured by a dog. In that movie, Eyes Without a Face, the mad scientist gets severely disfigured by a dog at the end. In Gabon and Congo, scientists traced the origin of the Ebola virus to three different species of fruit bat. By stopping people from eating the bats, a scientist suggested, the spread of the virus could be slowed. There was a shortage of Santas in Perth, Australia. Current Santas said that the risk of litigation was too great. Once upon a time, you'd walk through the mall saying, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, said Santa John Gomez. But now you say nothing. In Gavla, Sweden, vandals burned a huge straw Christmas goat. The White House put up nearly 600 feet of garland and erected an 18 and a half foot fir tree decorated with tulips and azaleas in honor of this year's Christmas theme, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Meanwhile, an Amtrak's train struck a bald eagle in Fredericksburg, Virginia. That's the weekly news and review. Hey, now you're up to date. What do you think about that? My friend Chris Michaels sent me an email with a link about a Gotham marijuana ring called Cartoon Network. It's dated today, December 8th. And Cartoon Network has been around for 6 years delivering premium marijuana to New York City residents. I guess that's a Canadian-grown hydroponic chronic. There are photos here of the packaging, which is pretty amazing. And it's been busted, and they've even got a list of customers, a drug customer list. It's interesting to me because back in 90 and 91, I worked for a marijuana pot ring in New York City. We called ourselves Stage Left, and we delivered all over the place. We were there within an hour, and we had all kinds of varieties of marijuana. But I don't think they still exist, and I certainly am a long time away from there. So I remember when there was another pot service got busted, and we became very afraid for a couple weeks. It was around a Thanksgiving back in 1990. But things got better. And then, of course, we just heard about the Christmas tree in Washington at the White House. And, of course, I have to make some sort of passing reference to the latest right-wing plot to distract us from torture in Iraq and bad planning and incompetent administration, as they want to stress the importance of Christmas, because the Christian fascists are trying to tell us that we're taking Christmas away from them. First off, I'd like to go somewhere where there really were people who were against Christians, because I don't know any place that is against Christianity. But I think it's pretty amusing that the White House, which, let's see, the Clinton White House and their holiday greetings card that they sent off during those 8 years, they were the first administration to acknowledge the existence of atheists. People who do not believe in God are considered evil. And of course, that's ridiculous if you actually look at statistics. Secularists, non-Christians, have, for instance, the divorce rate among among secularists is much, much higher than among Christians. Christians are always breaking up their marriages. The secularists aren't. Morality is all twisted in the Christian world. But now Bush is being put down upon by fascists like Bill O'Reilly, who want everybody to bow down to Christianity for some reason. Because, of course, this isn't the United States. No, not at all. This is the Christian States of America. Not really. Anyway, you're listening to the Thursday Impressionistic News, and tonight's feature really is about John Lennon.
I don't expect you.
I was a gooner. Sorry.
That's a shame.
Yeah,
it was nice.
What?
It was just going very well.
I know.
Maybe you can cut it together.
Yeah, that was very good, wasn't it?
Remember that one.
Remember those bits. We'll keep them. What went wrong?
Well, yeah, I didn't come in with you. It's my fault.
Oh. Well, all right. That's fine. As long as you know what happened.
Got it made. Don't they know we're so afraid? Isolation. We're afraid to be alone. Everybody got to have a home. Isolation. Just a boy and a little girl trying to change the whole wide world. Isolation. The world is just a little town. Everybody trying to pull us down. I don't expect you to understand after you've caused so much pain. But then again, you're not to blame. You're just a human. Afraid of everyone, afraid of the sun. Isolation. The sun will never disappear, but the world may not have many years. Always.
Playing here is an acetate of an extended version of Remember, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to play rarities, but now listen to this, where it goes after Remember November the 5th, and the acetate means that the sound quality isn't the best, but hey, it's the best that I got.
Bullshit.
avant-garde is French for bullshit. Remember from a scratchy acetate. You're listening to Kill Radio. This is Bennett sitting in for John Hirschfield on the Thursday news. This is Long Lost John. It dates from around 72, and this is a John Lennon song that is not available on any collection anywhere.
I think the piano maybe is better. I just realised to stop struggling. Hello? Yoko? Yeah. Well, it's long.
Freight train come back and never make no stop. Lost John thought he'd have to ride the top. Well, he's long, long lost John. Yeah, long, long lost John. Well, lost John standing by the railroad track, waiting for the freight train to come back. The freight train come back and never make no stop. Lost John thought he'd have to ride the top with his long, long, long lost John. But he's long, long lost John. Lost John was standing by the railroad track, waiting for the freight train to come back. The freight train come back to never make no stop. Lost John thought he'd have to ride the well, long, long, long John. About a half past three. You don't look out, she's gonna spew on me. I wanna ride a railroad bill. I'm gonna ride.
Hello, Richard? Mal, I'm defunct. That's one of the problems of it.
And what's it really like to be a Beatle, Mr. Lennon?
You see, it's so long since I've not been one. It's like I was trying to imagine what it's like. I was trying to recreate the feeling of buying Elvis's record in the old days, because we'd just finished one. I was looking at it and touching it. I was trying to not be me. And it's just impossible. I couldn't describe it, you know. Mm. It's like being permanently in a white bag. And people are looking, but they do not never see, really. You know, I mean, on average in the streets, I mean, and things like that. So I'm on like a permanent trip, you know, where everybody's voice is slightly in the distance. I'm you know, in a permanent high state because of people's, you know, if people worship something, something rubs off on them. You know, so with what I've done and what people have done to me, they've cocooned me and my life and my wife and everything in this sort of bag. And so I'm immune to a lot of things. I'm very unimmune. You know, it's a bit of both. Like, when you're in the white bag, you know, the white bag gig, yeah, there's a risk you get kicked when you're sitting around the folk because people are so interested and like that. But there's also the womb thing. So I'm in this kind of polythene womb, you know. And every now and then something gets through and I actually get touched, you know. And then I say, well, now, why is that person... What are you doing in my kitchen? Or, you know, why are you letting down the car tire or demanding my arm? And then I have to think through that. But normally it's just like a kind of high or a low, you know.
Whatever gets you tonight, all right. Get your money on your life. All right. I was dreaming of the pain, and my heart was beating fast.
All right. One. Two. Three. Four.
Through your life, it's all right.
Sounded pretty active. John Lennon, Studio Walls and Bridges album. I don't know. I've told this my story. I was in New York on December 8th, 1980. I'd been dating a Chinese woman, Polly Tan, and she kept wanting to go up to the Dakota to hang out. She said, if John and Yoko see us, they'll probably stop and talk to us. But I always felt really creepy about hanging out and waiting for stars, so I never got to see John. I did run into Julian once on St. Mark's Place. But I wasn't there. But that night was a particularly memorable night for me. I met one of my idols, Richard Foreman, at a film showing up in Midtown, and then Richard and I shared a cab back downtown, and it was a really warm night in New York, December 8th, 1980. It was probably in the 60s, and really comfortable. And I was just so excited. I ran home, and I called some friends back in Chicago and told them about my adventures of meeting Richard Foreman, and they said they were they'd just gotten the new Playboy and were reading the John and Yoko interview that was in there. And I rang off and ran over to Recherche Studio, where I was working at the time, and we had a group meeting that night, and it was a good meeting. And then I get back home around, I guess it was around 11 or so. No, it was maybe a little bit later than that. And I'm home for a little bit, and the phone rings. I had a roommate who didn't like me to get late-night phone calls, but I ran and got it, and it was my friends in Chicago, and they'd had the football game on, and Howard Cosell had announced that John Lennon had been shot. And it was like getting it was destructive. It was just destructive to hear this news about this man who had been so important to me for so many years. And I turned on the radio and listened to different radio stations as all the DJs were streaming into the studio to talk about it. And then at 2 a.m. or so, they played Stand By Me. And I broke down and cried. It was weird. I mean, I was in my early to mid-20s. And I had had family members die, but I'd never confronted death so seriously as it was with John. So, you know, I'm of the right age, the right time to have done that. And now it's 25 years later. And John would have been 65 now. And as Yoko said, he would have been active in the peace movement still. He would have been speaking out against the Iraq war. It would have been business as usual. As a matter of fact, John and Yoko were about to pick up their tickets. That was a Monday night, December 8th. And they were planning the next day to pick up their tickets to fly to San Francisco, as they were about to actively re-engage in the protest peace movement, as they were going to do something in San Francisco at that time. And John had planned to go back out on the road. He was talking about going on the road around March or so and going on tour with the Double Fantasy songs. So it was really, that was a heavy loss. And so I, for the rest of the hour, I'm just going to play unreleased songs. Some of them have appeared on some of the collected John Lennon box sets and things, but not all of them. I've got several songs here that have never appeared, and so they're incredibly rare. So with that, we're going to go away with several John Lennon songs that are unfinished, and they're demos, and that's all we have. So understand, again, the sound quality isn't the best, but it's what we have. This was a song, She Is a Friend of Dorothy's, that John was working on for a potential Broadway musical called Ballad of John and Yoko. That was really Yoko's idea, but John got into the spirit of it. And She Is a Friend of Dorothy's, of course, is a 20s expression for fey, for homosexual, for gay. And John was, of course, friendly with everybody.
Yeah. And make it clearer.
Well, maybe I should play it higher, obviously.
Yeah. We'd like to welcome you here to the Dakota Country Western Club. And in return for Miss Yoko Ono's wonderful gift of a very strange hair, I'd like this morning to sing you a little ditty that occurred to me in the throes of my sleep. It's called Life Begins at 40. This is life begins at 40.
Somebody looped this tape to create this ending. I don't think that's the original ending. Life begins at 40. Everything that John did was based on something that was real. So he probably wrote that right around the time of his 40th birthday. And this is another song from the Ballad of John and Yoko show, I believe. It's called Mr. Hyde's Gone. Hey, folks, try to find this anywhere.
Mr. Hyde, he's really gone away. won't be back till next full moon, so we can bill and spoon in June and croon me woony woony. Can you stand it?
Shit. Mr. Hyde's gone. A little fragment of something he was working on. Yoko had said that John's last song was Grow Old Along With Me, which she used on the Milk and Honey album in a raw form, and she later produced a version with strings because John had said he wanted to have an orchestra do it. But there were several demos of that song, and so it was something that he was working on. It was pretty much a finished song at the time that he was killed. I'm more haunted by the fragments of really unfinished things. And so last couple pieces here, this is a totally ethereal, mysterious piece called Gone From This Place. And you can bear, I cannot understand the lyrics. I don't know what he's singing about, except it seems profound. John Lennon at the very end of things, Gone From This Place. A fragment, just a little piece in the wind, Gone From This Place, John Lennon. And this is the song that is considered by most of the biographers as probably the last song that John Lennon wrote. This is a demo probably recorded 2 or 3 days before the 8th maybe the Sunday before, as he sat in his room. This is probably John's last song. It's called Dear John.
Dear John, don't be hard on yourself. Give yourself a break. Life wasn't meant to be run. The race is all over. You've won. Dear John, don't be hard on yourself. Give yourself a break. Life wasn't meant to be run. The race is all over.
So, wasn't that better than talking about Christian fascists and getting angry about things that we have no control over? So most of the last hour we spent listening to extremely rare John Lennon material in memory of the 25th anniversary of John's assassination. For it was an assassination, you know. Anyway, this has been the Kill Radio News. This is Bennett. John Hirschfeld will be back next Thursday. And I'll probably be back around Christmas time. In the interim, you stay tuned to Kill Radio. And thanks for listening. Don't forget to kill your friends.